knew I wouldn't have enough time to share everything that I want to share underneath this title, but I'm going to you just start out with it, and then we'll continue on next week is discipleship night, if I remember correctly. Once again, communication, or are we moving on? Communication. Amen. Everybody's good communicators, right? What's that you say? Did you say something to me? Oh, you thought I was going to fix it or kick it? Did I not communicate real well? I still didn't get it fixed, but I ain't done yet either. Praise God. I don't know whether you noticed or not, but I did successfully put batteries in my microphone tonight. I got that done. I didn't have to drop kick this thing at all. I mean, I have used the terminology, well, you just need to drop kick that thing so it'll start and go on. But I don't do that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I do threaten some of, oh, here we go. Catch on. I do threaten some of my school students that I'm going to drop kick them if they don't get busy. Most of them don't know what it means, but they just know Brother Pepper's wanting them to get busy. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm serious about it. Hallelujah. I'm a serious servant of the Lord. How about you? All right, Brother Lucas, if you will, put up our fill in the blanks. There we go. Of course, it's going to always start out with Serious Servants Institute. It's always going to start out with a school of ministry. Just a little recap. We've all been given the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, it's our duty and our responsibility to share the goodness and the gospel of Jesus Christ with everyone we meet. I mean, that's our ministry. Hallelujah. As the children of God, we all have that ministry. So this is the school of ministry. Basically, this is teaching that will help us be prepared and be ready to fulfill that ministry in our lives. I'm so excited about our ministry table out there. That was just one of our visions for 2022, to start this ministry table and get you plugged in, get you realizing you've got a ministry, you've got work to do, you can be a help. Hallelujah. And then this teaching is just to help you do your work better. Praise God. Amen. How many realize there's always room for improvement? You realize some of the major inventions that have come along the way, you know, in our lifetime, for some of it's longer than others, but in our lifetime, how many things have we seen changed and improved so we could do it better? You know, just simplicity. You know, I remember, how many would rather use a screwdriver or electric drill? But now we've moved from the electric drill to a battery-operated drill. And then we move from a pneumatic nail gun to a battery-operated nail gun. Now they've got battery-operated lawnmowers. Riding lawnmowers that are battery-operated. I mean, you know, they're just, you know, there's always room for improvement. Praise God. So if you think you're really good, really great, and got it all under control, there's still room for improvement. Praise God. But I don't think you really think you've got it all under control and you already know all of it. Amen. Surely there's one or two words you don't know yet. Oh, maybe you do know it all. I don't know. Praise God. Well, I'm going to share some things with you tonight that come right out of God's Word. And so if you are an avid reader of God's Word, you probably know these things. But amen, we're going to recap them, we're going to go over them, and we're going to expound on them a little bit tonight. So hopefully you got a handout, hopefully you got an ink pen. Amen. Make sure you continue to fill this out. Don't stop halfway through. You don't have an ink pen? Don't have a handout? They missed you totally. Are you offended? Oh, you got the ink pen, but you don't have a handout. Where's the rest of the handouts? Grant, quickly, go fast. Grant, hello. Quickly. Quickly. Go fast. Quickly. That's how it works in school, too. Oh, he had one? Oh, this is good. Grant, do you have one? Now we got to move on. Well, Grant, how does that make you feel? Are you offended now? Not offended? Awkward? Well, that's normal. Praise God. I'd put up with these kids in school 3 days a week. Actually, I got to rephrase that. They put up with me in school for 3 days a week. Hallelujah. I don't know about them, but I enjoy school. School has been the best 25 years of my life so far. I don't think I'll ever graduate. Nope, I don't think I will. But I know a lot about math. I know a lot about English. I know a lot about history, a lot about science, but I don't think I'll ever graduate. All right, Matthew chapter 25, verse number 23 tonight. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Amen. Hallelujah. I trust you can see that up there. I trust you can fill out your handout. I do believe and I do know that when you hear something, you see something, and you write something, you remember it a whole lot better. And so that terminology, good and faithful servant, that is a serious servant of God. And notice, thou hast been faithful over a few things. Because of that, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Amen. This scripture comes from the parable of the talents. And five were given to one, two were given to one. One individual, one servant, only had one talent to deal with. The one that had five made five more. The one that had two made two more. The one that had one was a wicked and slothful servant. That's not a serious servant. A wicked and slothful servant. And I didn't put these scriptures in there, but you can go read them if you want, because we're dealing with being and becoming a serious servant of the Lord. Hallelujah. Here's the perfect example: being good and being faithful. Hallelujah. And then we will be rewarded. Notice that they were just good and faithful over a small amount of things. But because of that faithfulness, that seriousness of serving the Master, serving the Lord, they were rewarded. Hallelujah. But the one, and this is the thing, go read it, Matthew chapter 25. The one that was a wicked and slothful servant was not rewarded with good things, but he was cast out into outer darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why was he a wicked and slothful servant? It's all right there in the scriptures, and it all came right out of his own confession to the Lord. He said, "Lord, I knew that that was an auster man." In other words, you were very wise. You were very smart. You put your money to the changers. In other words, you took what you had and you make it had more. He said, "I knew exactly what you wanted me to do." I'm just kind of putting it in a understanding here. He said it with his own mouth. He said it with his own lips. "Lord, I know exactly how you are, and I know exactly what you wanted me to do, but I was afraid, so I just hid it in the dirt, buried it. Now I've got what you gave me." And the answer was, if you knew how I was and you knew what I wanted you to do, why didn't you do it? You wicked and slothful servant. You see, a serious servant knows the Master. A serious servant knows what the Master wants him to do, and a serious servant will do it. Hallelujah. You see, when you say "I will" and you don't, that's actually sin. To know to do good and do it not, that's sin. Hallelujah. No matter how little it may be.
Yeah, because sometimes we just put it on big things. Well, you know, I'll do what God wants me to do in a big thing, you know. God wants me to preach, I'll preach. Well, if you ain't faithful in a few things, he ain't going to want you to preach. Because you're not a faithful and good servant, you're a wicked and slothful servant. See, if you don't do what he asks you to do in the little minute thing, one talent, one thing. Let me remember what he said to that rich young ruler. One thing thou lackest. Just one? Yep, just one. Go ahead and fix it. Oh, man. That's too hard. Woo. Anybody ever said those words? That's too hard. You didn't have to raise your hand. Praise God. I mean, you know, praise the Lord. That's good that you did. Everybody else should have raised their hand too, because everybody else has said it. We've all said it. That's too hard. Why? Because it was really going against our carnal man. Our spiritual man was not near as alive as he should have been. Servant, once again, the definition of a servant, we'll go over that. Amen. Comes from Latin servans, from servo, to keep or to hold properly, one that waits, talking about being a waiter, in other words, ministering unto God. Hallelujah. Attending unto God. One that is bound unto God. And I can't remember the exact word that it was that Sister Lindsay was talking about that meant braided, twisted into one. Praise God. I knew it was connected. They that wait upon the Lord. That means we just want to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. We want to have every twist and turn of Jesus Christ. And just kind of like an old song that's been a long time ago, tied up, wrapped up, tangled all up in Jesus. Hallelujah. Just the reality that's the servant we want to be. We want to know him, and then we want to function for him. A servant is a male or female that attends another for the purpose of performing menial offices for him. In other words, the smallest thing. One who is employed by another for such offices or for other labor and is subject to his command. The word is correlative to master. So in other words, we have a master. His name is Jesus. And we are in the process of becoming a serious servant of our master. Servant differs from slave, as a servant's subjection to a master is voluntary, and the slave's is not. Every slave is a servant, but every servant is not a slave. Hallelujah. We are serious servants of the Lord because we love him. And we love him because he first loved us. And we have celebrated Resurrection Sunday and are celebrating Resurrection Sunday, hallelujah, because our Lord and our Savior has taken the punishment of sin. He's nailed it to the cross, hallelujah. He was nailed to the cross. There he died for the sins of the world. They took him off that cross, put him in a borrowed tomb, and on that first day of the week, hallelujah, he rose from that grave. He rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Sin was defeated. Hallelujah. And that's why we don't have to be bound by sin. We don't have to be tied up, twisted up, and tangled up in sin. Hallelujah. Because Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. And when we will put our confidence, our trust, and our allegiance unto him, follow him with our whole heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength, we'll become serious servants of the Lord. And we will begin to honor him and serve him with everything in us and everything he shows us. Praise God. That's what we're after. And what we're specifically after here tonight is the Spirit-filled servant. In other words, being baptized in the Holy Ghost of God. And then going forward from there, remaining filled with the Spirit. Praise God. And that's kind of where we're going to start and where we're going to end on that statement right there as we go through these scriptures tonight. And once again, this is just scripture out of God's Word. And God's Word showing us. And so I kind of did them out of order a little bit. And I started with Acts chapter 19 for the beginning scriptures. And it begins in verse number 1. And then there's some fill in there for you. And the question was asked, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Amen. Now, we had a perfect testimony this morning of a sister that has finally got filled with the Holy Ghost after 15 years. 15 years. But I don't know that she had a consistent 15 years where she had opportunity to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But if you're sitting in here tonight and you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost yet, you got great opportunity to get filled with the Holy Ghost because He moves here almost every service. Actually, He does move here every service. Hallelujah. He doesn't just move here every service, but praise God, He does move here every service. Hallelujah. Because there's hungry hearts. There's hungry souls. There's men and women that are really becoming serious about being a servant of the Master. Hallelujah. And that's why He honors us with His presence. Hallelujah. And why He moves the way that He moves, because He's seeing the desire of the hearts, and He's beginning to minister to that desire. Hallelujah. And so, praise God, she got filled with the Holy Ghost here this morning. And it was a glorious thing as the Spirit of God was just coming down on her, just moving on her. You could just tell. Of course, I've been in the ministry now for 40-some years or 30-some years. And you just know when God's moving, you know what God's doing. And, if you could just do it for Him, you would, but you can't. But you got to encourage Him to go on. Hallelujah. And that's all she needed. And I remember that so vividly when I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I needed those words of encouragement, because I'd never been there, never been filled with the Holy Ghost before. And when I heard those words of encouragement, Brother Pepper, that's the Holy Ghost. Then I knew that was the Holy Ghost. And then I just let Him have complete way. Hallelujah. And just spoke in tongues as He gave the utterance. And she did the very same thing this morning. She was praying. God was trying to fill her with the Holy Ghost. And I just spoke to her and I said, "Sister, that's the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Go ahead and let Him have His way." And she did. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. And she loved it. She just kept praying. She just kept praising. I walked by as the service is coming to the close. And she looked at me and she said, "He filled me with the Holy Ghost." Woo, hallelujah to the Lamb. I mean, there's no greater words that you can hear as a pastor when somebody says, "He filled me with His Holy Ghost." Hallelujah. Because that's what we were praying for, and that's what God brought. Amen. Hallelujah. This is supposed to be teaching, I know, but we're getting there. Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Now, I use this scripture because I wanted us to understand. And let me go ahead and read these scriptures. "And it came to pass that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples," that means they were believers, "finding certain disciples." And this is what I wanted to point out. He found these disciples, and what was the first thing he asked them? "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" That lets me know that was the most important question for a believer. Because Paul was all about being a serious servant of the Lord. Hallelujah. And when he met these believers, that was the first thing that was on his mind, the first thing on his lips, and the first thing he went about to getting them to a place of receiving. Because he knew it was the most important thing they were going to need in their lives, to be Spirit-filled. Amen. He said unto them, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." I wish I could find some people like that. Because what our problem is we know too much about it, and we think we've got it figured out, or we've got God put in a box, and we can't get it unless He does it like this. Now, these were just believers, and all they'd heard was John the Baptist, and John the Baptist preached repentance, didn't he? So that means they were all serious about repenting. Yeah, turning away from sin, turning away from unrighteousness. And so they were living right now under their own strength, under their own power, of trying to do what the law said do and what John had told them to do. And then verse number 4, "Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance. saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, in other words, when they heard the gospel, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they went down to the river for another dip. They went down to the river for another baptize. Amen. They all got baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they come out of that water, I don't know whether it happened right there at the baptismal service or not. Hallelujah. And so then after they were baptized and they heard the truths of Christ and believed the truths of Christ, verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them. And they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. I love it. Because it didn't say, and two of them were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And they all speak in tongues. Hallelujah. They were all serious about being servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's evident they were serious about it because they heard John's preaching, they adhered to John's preaching, and they were walking in John's preaching, and now they heard Paul preaching Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and now they were born again. You got to realize, in between all these lines, they were born again by the Spirit of God, and because of that, newness of life, they went down to the river, were baptized again, and then they came out for prayer meeting, and Paul began to lay hands on them and pray for them, and the Holy Ghost fell. Hallelujah. Just like he was doing this morning, the Holy Ghost fell upon them, and all 12 of them got filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues and began to prophesy. In other words, they began to praise and magnify God. Wow. Hallelujah. Now you're getting a little insight to why Pentecostal folks worship so much. Because we're alive. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost is abiding in us. And even though he's abiding in us, he can also begin to fall on us. Woo! Hallelujah. And begin to just reveal the glories of heaven, even in greater measures and greater ways. Hallelujah. To strengthen our mind, to renew our desires. Hallelujah. And to serve him. And the Holy Ghost came on them. And they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. You see, God's very serious about wanting to give his gift of the baptism of the Holy Ghost to his believers. And when his believers get serious about wanting to be baptized, as serious as God is wanting to baptize, they will be baptized and they will speak in other tongues. You see, you got to become serious about it. If you have the mind frame, well, when it happens, it happens. If you have the mind frame, well, it is what it is. I'll get it someday.
No, you won't.
Did I say that? No. You're going to get it when you're desiring to get it. When you start moving with the Spirit of God as he starts talking to you, you're going to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. As he starts falling on you, you're going to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, if you've went quite a while and not been baptized in the Holy Ghost, he may have to wash you brand new. You may have some things you need to repent of. Amen. Because that heart's got to be clean, and there's got to be repentance involved, and there's got to be desire to be a serious servant of the Lord. And if you're not serious about a clean life, a pure life, a holy life, then you may have a hard time getting filled with the Holy Ghost. You see, I mean, most of the accounts in the Scripture, even this account in Acts chapter 19, they got saved that day. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ that day. They were born again that day. They were cleansed that day by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were a brand new creature in Christ. Hallelujah. All sin was gone. They was washed away by the blood of the Lamb. And they were a clean, pure vessel. And then when Paul began to pray for them, and the Holy Ghost began to fall on them, they were all filled because they were clean vessels. And there was a vessel to be filled. But if it's been a while since you got saved and you're still not filled with the Holy Ghost, you may have some repenting to do and some cleansing for God to do so that He can endue you with power from on high. You see, it's got to be a clean heart, a pure heart, a sincere heart. And if we've gotten lukewarm, that's not the criteria. If we've got nonchalant about our attitude towards Christianity, you ain't there. No. You got to want it more than life, more than anything, to be filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I remember when Brother Daniel got baptized in the Holy Ghost. He got baptized in the Holy Ghost probably at a time he never thought he was going to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. It was on a midweek service. It was over in the little building. And it wasn't really, 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 really high in there at that point in time. But there was a hungry heart, a hungry soul, and God saw that, moved upon that. And in the little church, there was just one aisle down the middle, and Brother Daniel was sitting on the back row, so he was sitting in the middle of the aisle on the back row. And went up and marching on and baptized in the Holy Ghost. Woo! He'd been seeking the baptism in the Holy Ghost, and he'd been running up against some walls. He'd been running up against a little bit of self, a little bit of pride, a little bit, well, God, how come you won't do it this way? Or I don't know. I'm just presuming. He's nodding his head. Yeah. I've been there. How about you? Hallelujah. Oh, but God wants to fill us with the Holy Ghost. And so then it's going to have to be that humble, that purged, that cleansed vessel. Just like these men were. I mean, they believed the word. That means they were transformed. They had a clean heart, washed in the blood. And when the Holy Ghost fell on them, pow, they were filled. Glory. That's really how it's supposed to operate. Luke 24 and 49 says, Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. It's a promise of God. We're going to get to that here in a minute. It's the promise of the Father. And he told him to go tarry in Jerusalem. In other words, don't go back home. Don't go back to Nazareth. Don't go back to where your homes are. Just tarry there. They had 10 days to wait until the day of Pentecost. He didn't tell them it was going to be 10 days. But he told them to go there and tarry and go there and wait. And after he ascended, that's exactly what they did. And he told them, because it's the promise of the Father. Tarry there, and then you will be endued with power from on high. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, Luke reiterates it as he starts writing the book of Acts. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses, servants, unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria unto the uttermost part of the earth. In other words, there's no limitations to God when he has a spirit-filled servant. There's no limitations. You know what limits God? The only thing that limits God is nobody to do the work. Because God has chosen to work through his children. And what limits God is no one to be the servant of the Lord. No one to be ready to do what God wants done. Because when there is someone that is willing and obedient and a surrendered vessel, then that opens the door wide for God to do whatever he wants to do. Hallelujah. In a church service, in a supermarket, in Walmart, hallelujah, if you have to go there. Out on the street somewhere, at a job, just a serious servant of the Lord that can be there when he needs a voice, be there when he needs a hand, be there when he just needs love and compassion. Hallelujah. Praise God. But Jesus told him, tarry there. You're going to receive power. You're going to be witnesses. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1 says, And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came the sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Praise God. It filled
all the house, they were sitting down. That's all right. You can get filled with the Holy Ghost sitting down. You can get filled with the Holy Ghost standing up. You can get filled with the Holy Ghost kneeling at an altar. You can get filled with the Holy Ghost laying with your face on the floor. You can get filled with the Holy Ghost jumping up and down. You can get filled with the Holy Ghost running around the house of God. You can get filled with the Holy Ghost. Wherever you find that place of surrender, you will get filled with the Holy Ghost. You can get filled with the Holy Ghost driving down the highway. Hallelujah. Praise God. And He'll take care of you. Praise the Lord. Glory. But they were all in an upper room. They were all in one mind and one accord in one place. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost came and filled the house. Just like He did this morning. He came and He filled this house. Now in this circumstance, in this situation, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it set on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, we read and we understand there was about possibly 120 individuals in this upper room. Someone was bringing out the fact that it might have possibly been the same upper room that they had the Last Supper in with Jesus Christ before His death, burial, and resurrection. Because it was an upper room in Jerusalem, and they were all there in one mind and one accord. What did that mean? They were all serious about being there. He was seen, now the Bible lets us know, He was seen of about 500 at one time after His resurrection. But on the day of Pentecost, only 120 of them had the opportunity to gather together. And there they were in one mind, one accord, waiting on the promise of the Father that they had no idea what it was going to be. None whatsoever. In other words, their mind was a clean slate. No preconceived ideas. No erroneous teaching. Nothing in their minds except Jesus said we're going to be endued with power from on high. And if Jesus said it, I believe it. And I'll believe it till I die. Hallelujah. And so that was their mind frame, their attitude, their desire. We don't understand. We don't know why. Other than Jesus said the promise of the Father is going to come. It's going to give us power. Now they knew and they had experienced the power of God, but not like they were fixing to experience it. They had been sent out and given power over demons, over sickness, over anything of pertaining to, they healed, miracles were performed, devils were cast out in the name of Jesus, but they still didn't have power within. And so they knew a little bit about power and the results thereof, but they did not understand nor know about anything called speaking in tongues. Now, here we are in 2022, and speaking in tongues sometimes scares people to death. Well, how do I speak another language? Well, how do I do this? Or and we start trying to figure out how. How will I do this? How will I do that? How will I respond if God's moving? Are you getting the picture? They weren't sitting there trying to figure it all out. They were just sitting there waiting and talking and conversing and praying and worshiping and thinking about all the goodness of God. And they weren't trying to figure out, now, what are we going to do when it comes? How's it going to come? They weren't worried about that. They were serious about however it came. We're ready. We're ready. Are you that serious about getting filled with the Holy Ghost? However the Holy Ghost moves, are you ready to move with Him? Are you always trying to anticipate and figure out what you will do and what you won't do? Get that gone. Get your preconceived ideas gone. And get your heart hungry and desiring and prepared to receive when God, the Holy Ghost, starts coming down on your life. Hallelujah. Like I said there, first thing He may bring is something to repent about. So you got to realize, if it's been a while,
it's been a while and you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost, first thing the Holy Ghost is going to do is he's going to cleanse you. He's going to purify you, and he's going to deal with you and speak to you about things that may not be right in your life. Because he has to. Because he can't fill you if there's sin there. It just don't work that way. But if you're ready to repent of anything God begins to talk to you about, and you're ready to get it going out of your life, and you're ready to change your life, and you're ready to turn your life around and do whatever God wants you to do, you'll get filled. You'll be filled instantly. But if you're trying to make God do it your way, yeah, you ain't even going to get filled. You ain't serious about being filled. That's just how it is. Woo, got to get serious about seeking the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 10. The day of Pentecost, they all were baptized in the Holy Ghost, spake with other tongues. I want to go ahead and read Acts chapter 2, verse 14, then I'm going to come back to Acts chapter 10, just for the sake of what we're talking about. Acts chapter 2, verse number 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. Praise the Lord. That's serious, isn't it? Peter didn't stand up and say, well, if you will pay attention, and if you would really like to know, and, you know, I mean, if you would, you know, I don't want to offend you, and, you know, I have something to say, but I don't know if you can hear it, and I, you know, that's not what he did, was it? No, he just stood up with the 11, and under the boldness and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, he just began to address, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these men are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Hallelujah. A fulfillment of the promise that God had given all the way back in the Old Testament by the prophet Joel. Hallelujah. A servant of the Lord. And the prophet Joel had spoken in verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, lets us know we're in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all, can you say that? All flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Glory. That's the promise that God gave by the prophet Joel. That's the very thing Peter brings to their attention on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Praise God. The outpouring of the Holy Ghost always will be manifested for the first time in a believer's life with speaking in an unknown tongue. Now I want to back up to Acts chapter 10 of another account of the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 46. Peter, once again, is preaching. Praise God. Peter must have been a great preacher. A lot of things happened when Peter preached. Hallelujah. Oh, my. I mean, the Pharisees and the Sadducees called him an unlearned man. There's one thing he did know, and that was Jesus. Hallelujah. He knew the Master, and he was a serious servant of the Master, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 10, verse number 44, says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. The emphasis here in that verse is the Holy Ghost fell, and he fell on all them, and the next key word is heard. Heard the word. That is not a statement of they heard someone talking. That is a statement of faith rose in their heart, and they believed what Peter was preaching. they believed the gospel message. Peter was not even preaching the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Peter was preaching the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, for the remission of sins for the world. And while he was yet preaching, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That lets me know, hallelujah, from God's word, that while he was yet preaching the gospel, they believed the gospel. They were washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. They were born again by the Spirit of God. And because they were washed, cleansed, and a new creature was created inside of them, then the Holy Ghost went ahead and fell. Hallelujah. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And the key was that they believed the word of God. Hallelujah. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah. Here's Peter. I mean, just envision this in your mind. Peter has come to a Gentile household. God had to rake Peter over the coals and work a work in Peter just to get Peter to go down to this house. Oh, that's how the Holy Ghost operates. He's going to prepare you for what he needs you to do somewhere else. Maybe in a circumstance or situation that you've never been in before. But God's going to work in you and prepare you so you can help someone else along the way. Sometimes he's got to change our mind frame, our attitudes, our dispositions. And surely not any prejudice or racism or anything like that. Sometimes he's just got to change us a lot just to get us to talk to someone that's a little different than we are. That's what he was doing with Peter. Oh, Peter thought, I can't go down there. Those are Gentiles. They eat foul things. Woo! And God showed him some truths of the kingdom of God that Peter had not yet perceived nor realized nor understood. And so God began to reveal some truth to Peter. I mean, this is the guy that stood up on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 were saved, but he still had some learning to do, didn't he? Mm-hmm. You got to just keep walking in the light. As he's in the light, hallelujah. I mean, you're going to learn something new every day. Isn't that right, Grant? Yeah. Praise God. Just checking in with you. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so then, here's the thing. Those that were there were astonished because here they are in the midst of the preaching. The Holy Ghost fell, poured out, and they were speaking, heard them speak with tongues. Now, I want you to understand, and this is kind of some proof of what I'm going to get into here in a little bit. I got to keep moving here. This is too much fun. Praise God. And so, Peter is preaching. The other Jews are there. How did they know they were speaking in tongues? They didn't have a clue what language they were speaking. But the key is the fact that they said it has fallen on them just like us at the beginning. So the same manifestation of speaking in tongues right here in the house of Cornelius is the same manifestation of speaking in tongues on the day of Pentecost. That pretty well eliminates whether it was in the speaking or the hearing. It was in the speaking. Because everywhere else it was in the speaking, because nobody really knew what they were saying, but they knew they were speaking in a language they did not know. Praise God. Hallelujah. I just want to insert this. You know, when you're speaking in tongues, do you ever try to think maybe what language you're speaking in? Maybe you don't speak in tongues very often. I don't know. I mean, you know, Paul said whether it's tongues of men or tongues of angels, so that gives us two varieties right there. And then you got all the varieties of the human languages. I have no earthly idea what a heavenly language is like. But maybe we've heard some we don't really know. Because it's not really in the hearing. If it was in the hearing, we would start understanding, oh, well, they're speaking angelic language over there. Now, I'm just going to throw this in here, too. If you hear somebody say, oh, yeah, I know that language, it's angelic, you need to flee. because they don't know nothing. And they're trying to be something they're not, and we got a multitude of those out there. We got everybody that wants to be somebody that is really nobody, and nobody wants to be a servant of the Lord. That's why there's so much stuff out there, because there are not enough serious servants of God to send them on their way. Woo! Glory. Praise our God. And so we see then they heard them speak with tongues, and notice they were magnifying God also. So that's where Paul said, whether I speak in the tongues of men or the tongues of angels, or whether I pray in my understanding or I pray in tongues. In other words, if you will, in this situation at the house of Cornelius, they were getting filled with the Holy Ghost. They were speaking in an unknown tongue, and then they go right back to their normal tongue, praising God, magnifying God, glorifying God, magnifying God, magnifying God, magnifying God, magnifying God. I don't know how long they did it. We did it for quite a while today, this morning. It's because the Spirit of God had filled this house. And we were magnifying God and speaking in tongues. And God was helping people. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Serious servants are Spirit-filled servants. They speak in tongues. Hallelujah. They worship in tongues. You can even sing in tongues. Hallelujah. If it's vocal, it can be done in tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. Hallelujah. It should not be a strange thing for the believer to move from speaking in tongues to speaking in your English language. My preference is just speaking in tongues, because then I know I'm praising right, I'm praying right, and I'm doing right. Hallelujah. When I move to English, then it's all on me. Okay, am I saying the right words? Is this enough for God? Is this? But if I'm praying in tongues, then I know it's the Holy Ghost and God's loving it. God's loving it. Hallelujah. And He's blessing it. Praise God. But it doesn't really hinder me. I can praise God either or. Because a serious servant is a praiser of God. And that would be another lesson at another time. But there's so much to a serious servant. Acts chapter 2, verse number 36, as we move down, almost coming to the end here tonight. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus, whom ye crucified. Man, he had boldness that day, didn't he? Both Lord and Christ. So he's preaching the gospel to them. He's preaching the truth to them. Verse 37 gives us the result of that anointed preaching. And when they heard this, there's that word again. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. What is it? That's a strange word to us. But that's just when the Holy Ghost says, gotcha. The Holy Ghost says, this is you. The Holy Ghost says, you hear that. The Holy Ghost says, this is what you need to change. The Holy Ghost says, come forth. The Holy Ghost says, run. Woo! The Holy Ghost says, lift up your hands. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Once again, it goes along with what I was preaching this morning. They didn't know what to do. They knew God was dealing with them. They knew God was moving on them. They were sensing something they had never felt before. Coming from God, and they knew it was coming from God. Hallelujah. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, repent. Amen. What are they going to repent of? They're going to repent of the rejection of Jesus Christ, because they were the same crowd that were crying, crucify him, crucify him, just a few weeks ago. Hallelujah. And they had to turn from their disbelief and their fear and that unbelief. And so repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, realize what he has done and who he is, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall. That's a strong word, isn't it? And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise our God. It's a gift. Just like our salvation's a gift. And when we turn to Christ Jesus with all of our heart, we shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And here's the promise. For the promise is unto you. Thank you, Lord, for baptizing me in the Holy Ghost. To your children. Thank God, my children are baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And all. Thankful that my grandchildren are baptized in the Holy Ghost. Some of the little ones are on the verge. That is a blessing. That is a blessing. Hallelujah. That is faithfulness of God. But it was for me. It was for you. It was for your children. It was to all. There's that word. All that are afar off. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That means it's for everybody. It's for all believers. I will pour my spirit out upon all flesh. Hallelujah. Praise God. And this is the baptism in the Holy Ghost of God that the serious servant, once they've been born again by the Spirit of God, must be seriously pursuing and asking and praying and moving on in to praise and worship of an almighty God and allowing that desire inside and that joy inside that's already there from salvation to be expressed, not suppressed. Expressed, hallelujah, with joy I'll serve the Lord, with gladness I'll go to the house of God. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Praise God. Did you come in this morning just to kick in your heels and praising God that you were here, or were you awake yet? Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh yeah, but you see, you got to express what's already been done. You've got to rejoice in what's already been done. You've got to give thanks for what's already been done. If you want the baptism in the Holy Ghost and your lip locked, I don't know too many that are lip locked in the natural realm. You understand what I mean by lip locked? Oh, I can't talk. I can't speak. I don't know what to say. I always get amazed. People say, I don't know what to say, and I'm not emotional until something goes kind of a little awry in their life, and they become very emotional, and they say all kinds of things. But they're not emotional. It's very humorous to me. I'm sorry, but everybody's emotional. You just need to turn around and let it be for God instead of for yourself. Hallelujah. That's right, preacher. That's right. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. So it's for everybody. The promise is for all believers. Hallelujah. And just like all believers all through the book of Acts receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost. That 3,000, I mean, you've got to believe. You just have to believe. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That next 5,000 that got saved, guess what? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost too. But praise God, and I'm going to end on this note. In the next scriptures, just because you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost doesn't mean you're always going to do right. You got to learn how to remain spirit-filled. See, all I've dealt with tonight is just the initial infilling of the Holy Ghost of God with the initial physical evidence of speaking in an unknown tongue and magnifying God. But from this point forward, there are choices that have to be made, and I must maintain spirit-filled servant of God to be a serious servant of God. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to share with you what happens to those who don't maintain spirit-filled. In Acts chapter 5, wow, that's just three chapters later in the book of Acts. But a certain man, oh, you know, they gave their names. Oh, wow. Luke gave the names of these individuals that, you got to realize, these were believers. This man and this woman had been baptized in the Holy Ghost. So let's read this account. But certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. Not wrong. They didn't do anything wrong there. And kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Okay, so just at first glance here, I just want to recap this. It looks like they're doing something good. They sold some land, but they sold it, and let's just put a dollar amount to it. They sold it for $10,000. But they only were going to give $5,000. Okay, right now, up to this point, nothing wrong with that. Not a thing wrong with that. Not at all. But what they were wanting to do was they wanted to present this $5,000 as it was the full sale price and how much they had sacrificed in their giving. It was a self-exaltation move. God doesn't want that. As we read on, you'll see what Peter said. And so they sold it, laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Okay, so notice who's on the scene here now in a spirit-filled believer's life. And here's the question, Peter, to why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Why did you allow the devil quarter? Why did you even give him the time of day? Because now he's filled your mind and he's filled your heart with deceit. This is a spirit-baptized believer that now has started listening to self. And when you start listening to self, that opens the door for the devil. So here they are, husband and wife, conniving together so that they can be self-exalted like they really did a great thing, but yet they could still then have money for themselves and pat themselves on the back. What is that? That's pride, selfishness. That's really not giving with a happy heart at all, was it? No, it was lying to God. Notice that he said, Satan, fill thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land. In other words, God called them on their conceit, their conniving, their deceit. Can you imagine what he felt like standing there? I mean, this is kind of a pun, but he probably felt like, oh, I wish I could die. And he did. He did. Yeah. Was it not thine own? See, they could have sold it for $20,000 and gave $2,000, and that would have been fine. But it was the deceit of trying to present it as everything. Are you really giving everything? Or are you just saying you're giving everything and you're keeping some back for yourself? God hates that. Serious servants don't give Satan any place to begin to lie to the Holy Ghost. I surrender all. Can't wait to get out of church. I got some things I want to do. Yeah, that's Ananias, that's Sapphira. They want to make it look like, but it's not there. Oh, and this is what I want to point out. They had believed in Jesus Christ. They had been baptized in the Holy Ghost. But here's the emphasis. They were not filled with the Spirit at this point in time. What were they filled with? The Bible says, Satan filled thine heart. Whoa. They weren't full of the Holy Ghost. They were full of the devil. Whoa. That's kind of a strange thought, isn't it? to be Pentecostal and full of the devil. Oh, it happens. Yes, it happens, but not for serious saints, not for serious servants. No. We're not going to give the devil the time of day. We're not going to give him any place to enter into our minds. Don't argue with the devil. Just put him out. Don't try to tell him what you are. Just put him out. Hallelujah. You don't have to give him the time of day. Just put him out. When those thoughts start coming to your mind, put them out of there. Hallelujah. And put in the good thoughts, the pure thoughts, the holy thoughts, the righteous thoughts. Begin to worship God. Begin to praise God. Begin to quote scripture you learned in school. There's school again. Praise God. That's an inside joke between me and my son and family. Hallelujah. See, it's within your power to put the devil where he belongs. Because you're a child of God and a serious servant of God. Hallelujah. And you have the power of praise. You have the power of prayer. You have the power of Scripture on your side. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to be a soldier in the army of the Lord. Glory to God. We've been given every weapon we need to defeat the powers of darkness. And if we don't take advantage of them, we are not serious about serving God. We want a free ride to heaven, but we don't want to lift a finger to get there. Glory. So here they are. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all of them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. Oh, man. That would be quite the service. All standing here, worshiping, praising God, then all of a sudden one of us falls out dead. Titus, Timmy, pick him up, go bury him. I mean, you know, we kind of do it as a humorous thing. That's what happened that day. I think what's really, really, really interesting to me is when the young men arose, wound him up, and went and buried him. They didn't ask questions. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah. They did what they were told. And you go read the rest of the story. See, in other words, see, they connived, they deceived, they talked about it together and said, all right, we're going to pull the wool over the preacher's eyes. We're going to go ahead and keep back part of this money, make it look like we gave all of our money, and we are going to be looking good. That is nothing but pride, arrogance, selfishness. If you're more concerned about looking good than you are being a serious servant of God, you've got a serious problem. You've got a big problem. You got the very problem that got the devil cast out of heaven. Pride. It's not about looking good. It's about being good. It's about being a good and faithful servant of the Lord. So, I'm closing here tonight with the reality. The Spirit-filled servant is not just the initial infilling of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. When was the last time you spoke in tongues? When was the last time you prayed in tongues? When was the last time you worshiped in tongues? When was the last time you really surrendered yourself fully to God? Those are questions we got to answer. If it's been over a week since you spoke in tongues after a service like this morning, you got a serious problem. You are not in surrender. You are not serious about serving your Lord and your Master. Because if you're a serious servant of the Lord, you will try your best to be filled with the Spirit of God continually. Question. How come there was room for Satan to fill their hearts with deceit? because they were not filled with the Holy Ghost of God. That was their choice, and it was a bad one. And it was a wrong choice. Ooh. So it takes seriousness to maintain a Spirit-filled life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Stand with me tonight. Someone come back to the piano if you could. Because this is to be continued. It won't be next week. Sister Pepper will be up next week. Amen. On communication. But then we'll pick up in May again. And it will still be the Spirit-filled servant part two. About what it's going to manifest in our lives as we maintain Spirit-filled. See, this was just preliminary. Might have been tight for some that haven't been baptized in the Holy Ghost yet. Those that had been baptized in the Holy Ghost, this one was a breeze. Next week, you probably better wear steel-toed shoes. Because next week, then we're going to start showing what it is to walk in the Spirit and to maintain Spirit-filled communication with God and with man. And it's going to be rough. It's not an easy thing. Sometimes it's not a pretty thing, but that's what God's looking for. And that's why God's moving in this house. Because you and I are stepping up. You and I are becoming more serious about being that servant God wants us to be. And God is showing what He can do. What He will do. He'll fill with the Holy Ghost. He'll keep young believers pressing on. Hallelujah. Oh, my. And we got other young believers the enemy's fighting. Oh, my. They need our prayers. Drew, Courtney, Justin, Miranda need our prayers. Ashley needs our prayers. I mean, hallelujah. God's moving mightily. God's moving wonderfully. But if we're not careful, we'll get laxed and won't be Spirit-filled. Oh, that's when, you know, those attitudes get, next time. That's enough for tonight. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands and let's give praise to our God. Father in heaven, Lord, this has been a wonderful Resurrection Sunday. God, you've been so good to us. Oh, you've been so merciful to us. God, your grace has abounded in this house. Oh, God, hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, for the glory of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ that has descended in this building. Lord, that has moved upon our hearts, moved on our souls, has renewed our minds. Oh, glory to our God. Oh, Father in heaven, Lord, help us, God, to take these truths, oh, Lord God, that have been taught here tonight, the testimonies that have been shared, the songs that have been sung. Lord, help us to hide them in our hearts, oh God, that we might not sin against God. Oh Lord, that our hearts will be clean. Lord, that our lives, Lord, will be pleasing unto you, Lord, that we will continually, Lord, strive with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, Lord God, to be serious servants of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Mighty is our God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. These altars are open tonight. Hallelujah. Let's take full advantage of them. Hallelujah. Is there lost souls upon your heart? Lift them up before the Lord. Lift up these young converts before God tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, God of heaven, allow the Spirit of the Lord to lead you in this moment in time of prayer. Oh, become that prayer warrior for God. Oh, that serious servant of the Lord. If you have not a need, hallelujah, then praise Him, worship Him. Oh, hallelujah. But if the Lord lays somebody on your heart, pray for him. Oh, lift him up. Praise be to our God.